The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
So my phone rings at 6:30 this morning. It is Carl Bott on the phone. And he says, my guest host isn't going to be there.
Ah!
It's you. So with...
He puts a lot of faith in you.
Good morning, Shasta County, KCNR 1460's Free Fire Radio. Bob Belongi here along with Ashley Esses.
Good morning.
And we're going to wing it with no prep. We got guests at 7:30. Then at 8 o'clock, we're going to do the replay of, well, actually a first play of the Shasta College interview that Carl did. And that's going to be replayed on Friday because Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving, and the day after, there should be nobody in the studios. So bear that in mind. Crazy week.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. Before we get into some fire information...
We're still waiting on the update. The last
still
update
waiting
I
on
have,
the update.
The last official update I have is from 7:04 last night.
So. Throw out some weather for you. Widespread haze this morning, mostly sunny, high near 71. Partly cloudy, low around 43. Good news, of course, we have a change. Rain, and not maybe rain, not possible rain, not chance of rain, rain.
Yay!
Starting Tuesday night, they've moved it up again.
Yay!
Yeah, they'd been talking about Friday, then it was Thursday, then it was Wednesday. Now they're up to Tuesday. Rain, light and variable winds, 90% chance of rain on Wednesday, rain on Wednesday night, rain on Thanksgiving, rain on Friday. The trouble is, this is a mixed blessing. Oh, by the way, right now in Reading, 41 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Senior and Veterans Discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane. The rain is a mixed blessing. It's going to calm the fires down there around Paradise, and that is very much needed. However, we are not ready for a lot of rain, and we're going to get a lot of rain.
Because of the mudslides?
Yeah. Southern California a few years ago had those horrific wildfires. More people were killed in the mudslides than in the fire itself. Now, up here, of course, we've had such a horrific death toll from the camp fire that it's... But Paradise is just going to turn into one gigantic bog.
Yeah. Oh, well, and even...
And the watershed is going to suffer. The Featherweather River watershed will suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. And even here in Redding with the car fire, because a lot of the fire burned uphill from Redding proper, I...
The runoff into the river, it's going to be it's going to be rough.
It's going to be messy.
And so 21... please, yeah, if you live downhill from a burned area, be alert because you get this flow of gunk.
Today and tomorrow are your chance to get the sandbags and protect your property as best you can. With these natural disasters, it's so difficult to prepare ahead of time and keep maintained ahead of time. But it's those houses that have been saved in the fires and every other disaster. It's the people who are prepared.
Right. So sandbags are available from a number of sources. You may not be able to get them for free. I mean, they're not exactly super expensive. You can go down to, I think, Harbor Freight and get sandbags, a whole package of those woven plastic bags for, you know, 20, 30 bucks. Sand is available from a number of sources. But it's like the smoke masks. People were showing up at the fire department wanting smoke masks, and the fire department ran out, and people just went ballistic. Well, no, their job is to put out fires, not hand you a mask for free.
Yeah.
And besides the fact, a smoke mask at Ace Hardware, I think, was about $4 or $5.
Yeah, and it's totally worth it to protect yourself whenever this sort of thing, being aware, and I know that our listeners tend to be very aware people, but for no other purpose than just listening to local radio and paying attention to local radio as compared to the national. And so listening to this station automatically makes you more aware of what's going on here. But there will likely be sandbags put out in cases of flooding and in case of mudslides, but you won't have the time to get it down.
Yeah, this would be the day to go to Harbor Freight, go to Ace Hardware,
pick it up
go
today,
wherever.
Put it down tomorrow.
And
the rain's coming
spend
tomorrow night.
A little bit of your own money because, trust me, cleaning up from a mudslide that makes its way into your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we had, 21 people die last January due to the mudslides in California alone.
Yeah.
So with the death toll, even though the car fire is put out, if people aren't aware, the death toll could still raise.
Yeah, yeah. So let's be safe, and I worry for the city of Paradise and the surrounding areas. You do have an update on these fires,
yes,
right?
Yes, I just got an update from Cal Fire about the Camp Fire incident. It was at 7:06. It just updated. 151,000 acres, 66% contained. The number of structures threatened has gone down just a little bit. We're at 14,500. Structures destroyed were at 11,713 residences and about 4,000 other buildings.
Try to wrap your brain around that.
Yeah. More than 15,000 structures destroyed so far. 77 people dead. We're still at 3 injuries for, I believe those were all firefighters. 5,332 people on scene trying to fight the fires right now.
And, of course, the president visited the area.
Yes.
That was a no-win situation because had he not come, he would have been mocked for not caring.
Mm-hmm.
He came and there were...
the same people
who
mocked him and then got annoyed that he came.
So. Yeah, and, you know, things like... the guy with the big sign, it's global warming, moron, and stuff like that is not helping. You know, you can have this argument that the climate is changing. The difference, why is the climate changing? There are many. It is not a single point system. And it just drove me nuts reading that.
So we do have some other events that are happening this week. I like to look at the National Day Calendar. And so that's one of the things I do to keep myself entertained. And I know when I'm headed to work and it's something that I talk about at work. So if you guys are in the car listening, then you might be interested to know that today is National Play Monopoly Day. So if you aren't in the path of the mudslides tonight, maybe you can get home, play some Monopoly with your family. It is also National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day.
Mm.
So Mountain Dew is my carbonated beverage with caffeine of choice.
Apparently, you and I are extremely boring.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's you know, I was called at 6:30 by Carl. Let me explain. I meant to lead off with this. I was called at 6:30 by Carl saying that the guest host wasn't going to be in and I needed to cover until 8 a.m. when we have a special segment coming on. The reason that Carl and Linda are not sitting here this morning is because they are down at Linda's parents' for the Thanksgiving week in Sacramento. Their family took priority over the station, and
right,
more
so.
Power to them. So I'm sorry if I'm upsetting listeners by my presence.
Well, I will tell you what, if you do not like the sound of my voice, which I do not blame you for, then you can go onto the website, kcnr1460.com, and download an archive and listen to a rerun, and then you can get your dose.
And we're not being defensive, I just,
no,
you know.
But you have choices.
There's your explanation.
And that's one of the things we celebrate at this station, is the fact that you have a choice to listen to us or listen to somebody else. If you want to listen to us and you want to listen to Carl and Linda, we have that resource available. Yeah. Go for it.
Now, I have made no secret of the fact that I am departing California. And interestingly enough, I had somebody at a concealed carry class kind of get up in my face.
Really?
Which struck me as a really bad idea at a concealed carry class.
Yeah.
Calling me to my face a coward for leaving California.
Okay.
Well, I, being the gentle-natured person I am, after I got my blood pressure back under control, I thought about that, and I'm not leaving for any one particular reason, people that, well, because of the fires? No, that certainly didn't help. Because of the politics? No, not particularly. Because of the heat? A little bit. Mostly, Brenda and I want to retire near the ocean. And I'm not living in Eureka.
Yeah.
Sorry. In Crescent City is a little bit way off the beaten path. We chose Coos Bay because it has a big, beautiful waterfront, and we can go out and we can do crabbing and we can do all the things that we want to do in our retirement. And it's our retirement.
Yeah. And it's like, what? He's welcome to say whatever he wants to say.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's a terrible idea to say something to people like that you might meet in a concealed carry class, but...
Yeah, but calling someone a coward to their face. Yeah.
That doesn't seem wise, and there's no reason for you to ingest that at all. I was just like, that's nice. Head pat, move along.
Yeah, move right along. Anyway, the whole idea of a talk show is not for me to sit here and pontificate. It's not for me to sit here and lecture. It's not for me to sit here and blather on endlessly. The role of a talk show host is to facilitate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to join in the conversation, 530-605-4567. We're going to have open phones for this quarter hour coming up. We have a guest at 7:30, and then at 8 o'clock, a special playback of our Shasta College interview that Carl did. So you got the next 15 minutes to call us up, fire off whatever you got stuck in your craw, whether it be Bob's a coward for leaving California, you don't like the voices, there's changes in the wind. Laura
Bring
Ingram is leaving the airwaves, so we got to come, we got to backfill that show.
Yeah,
lots of other things. The topics are open because this is your community connected radio station. KC and our 1460s Free Fire Radio. We will be back.
The holidays, whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family-owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Reading Sports.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom and their computer technology, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
And now, back to our show.
7:20 on Free Fire Radio. It's still about right around freezing, depending on who you ask. Interesting, the weather...
35 degrees.
35, yeah. So it was pretty nippy first thing this morning. A little frost on the pumpkin there.
I need to make sure I replace my windshield wipers today.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because they get all...
The defrost can only work so hard, and I was
so
behind.
You're probably, you get this a lot, you're probably a bit young to remember it. Do you remember the Volkswagen commercial for the Jetta?
No.
Dum, dum, cha, dum, dum, cha. I'll have to play that for you sometime.
Yeah.
It was a soundtrack done by Moby, who was a big mix artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he composed this piece for the Volkswagen Jetta commercial. It was a big hit in the 80s, and what it was is that
I was born in 88, remember.
Okay. or maybe the spot ran in the 90s. Anyway, the music was synchronized to the beat of the
windshield wipers,
of the windshield wipers.
Nice.
And these edits. It is one of the finest examples of video editing you will ever see, and I'm a big fan of good artistic edits, because the edit in any movie or video really is as much of a story driver as dialogue, music, lighting.
As an author, that was what really helped my sentence and paragraph structure, was thinking about how it worked. How would I edit this in video?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, this is all one shot here, so this is all one sentence. And so it's interesting to go back and look at how it works in video and relate it in my my little world to storytelling.
530-605-4567. It's a talk show, so come on and talk. Give me a call, and I'll have Ashley keep going while I respond to the phone. It's just me and her. Normally, I just sit here and push the buttons. And
well, that's my job, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Ashley's
on
one of our
personality
other,
at
is
all.
One of our producers as well. We are not professional on-air personalities. I play one on the weekends and have for about 10 years. And
done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, we're probably going to put that show to rest. I am retiring at the tender age of 63. Sun Gold, that's Ashley. She is our weekend air producer.
Yes. Hi.
This brings up a topic.
Uh-oh.
And I can't even remember her name. Maybe you do. The socialist congressperson from New York. I can't think of her name.
Oh, I know it yesterday.
She's 29, but... I think. There's a generational gap between me and thee. Do you get offended? Do your hackles go up?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Ocasio-Cortez, yes.
That's what Google is telling you.
She got really upset when somebody, in the course of a reference, called her girl.
Okay.
She got just completely bent out of shape. and do you get offended?
I am not an easily offended person.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me all sorts of things. I guarantee I've been called worse. You can call me girl, dude, whatever. It doesn't make a difference to me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the people that I really respect in the world just aren't... Their feathers don't go in a hackle really quickly.
It's like there's a big business in being offended anymore.
Yeah, and being offended gives them power over you. And mm-hmm. I'm never going to let somebody have that kind of a power over me, not if I can help it. And so, I mean, you can say I'm a terrible host, and I'll probably agree with you, because this is not what I do for a living.
Yeah.
This is fun. It's unexpected, and I definitely enjoy it. But, you can call me girl, chick, whatever. Doesn't make a difference to me. And
it doesn't change who you are.
And there's no... I don't see... I'm part Vulcan. So my emotional depth is very shallow. But it's difficult to offend me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I mean, there are things I can still get upset about, and you have to kind of know me pretty well to know, one, if I'm upset, and two, what those topics are.
Mm.
And it's not political, I promise.
Yeah. But, I'm kind of, this whole socialism movement, obviously
it's
by people...
It's centered around being offended.
Yeah, and people who never read history.
Mm-hmm.
Or think that history doesn't apply to them.
Yeah. It's like the socialism is we can do it better. Every single time in history, people have had a very difficult time recovering from and getting out of the communist socialist ideas. But this idea of, well, they just did it wrong. Every single time in history. I personally have yet to find an instance where socialism and communism worked. And yes, I use those hand in hand because the socialism's the little brother to communism.
Right.
And so we're headed that direction. But the leaning on the government to do what other people should be doing gives the government power over you that you don't want.
Yeah. And the whole idea is that the government should be ultimately responsible for your well-being. No, it doesn't. In return, you give the state everything from each according to his abilities to each according mm-hmm. to his needs. Thank you, Carl. However, people are not wired that way.
Huh.
Socialism is a large global village when we are wired to be tribal individuals.
Yeah, and the... best example that if I had to put my faith in something like that would be actually, I forget the name of the book, but there was a book that had an omniscient AI in Rocco's Basilisk style, just overlooking all of people. And this AI was benevolent and trying to make sure everybody had what they needed, but it wasn't human.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, of course, other issues and... the characters belong to this, like, elite squad that took out people that weren't good for society kind of a thing. It was an interesting concept for a book, but socialism-wise, you cannot have humans at the center, and machines, as somebody who works with machines, machines are programmed by humans. So that type of idea is the closest I think mm-hmm. we could get, but it would still not be as good as doing... being you, doing what you need to do.
Yeah,
because individual responsibility, the more we push that aside,
mm-hmm.
the less free you are.
Yeah.
Because, okay, it's not my responsibility to whatever. It's the government's responsibility to take care of my kids.
Yeah, I want you to give me a dust mask. I want you to give me sandbags mm-hmm. because you're supposed to take care of me.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to tell me what to do. Come on.
Yes, and you can't have it, so you can't give them that power and then take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because taking power back is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Maggie Thatcher wisely observed that that socialism works fine until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a guest coming up at 7:30 here, and I really did not get the memo on who it is. We're going to find out after the bottom of the hour break. I want to tell you, though, this portion of the program brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. Outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7-day-a-week, 24-hour service, Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, their website, homecomfort.org. KCNR's Free Fire Radio, back with a guest after this.
Socks, bamboo socks. That's right, bamboo socks, 100% American made. Now, these socks are so soft, they feel like silk. But they're made out of bamboo. They're hard as nails. You're going to love them. The last sock you ever buy. Come into the As Seen on TV store. Buy one for your friends or neighbors, and they'll remember you for the rest of your life. We have socks for girls, for boys. We even have those hard-to-find diabetic socks. That's the As Seen on TV store, Shasta Center, Churn Creek Road.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
7:33, this is KCNR 1460's Free Fire Radio, and this portion of the program brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane, our dealer of choice when it comes to selecting a new long gun or pistol, having gunsmith work, or buying ammunition. John Bastiani and the crowd will treat you right down there. They got Black Friday coming up, all kinds of great sales, 10% off all 1911s, all the major brands. That's Black Friday down there at Bastiani Arms, 222-8222. And here with me now, and you know, Ashley, I hope you wrote down our guest name because...
I totally didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm terrible at this.
Today's mystery guest is...
Good morning, everyone. I am Carrie Crancy, the CEO of the Shasta Regional Community Foundation.
For those who are confused you with the hospital...
We are not the hospital.
Right.
That is correct.
What is and who is the umbrella for Shasta Regional Community Foundation?
So the Community Foundation, we are our own entity. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. And we serve the communities of Shasta, Siskiyou, and Tehama County. And we act as the savings account for the community. Mm-hmm. So the nonprofits in our area who are providing services, they're the checking account. They're doing amazing work, and things go in and out. And the Community Foundation is here to serve as the savings account for the long term, for their perpetual help and services for the nonprofits to make sure that they're able to do what they need to do on the ground.
Okay. What are some of the things that you have dispersed these funds for?
Sure. So everyone drives on I-5 and sees the big, tall flag right there off I-5 mm-hmm. that's run by the Enterprise Lions Club, and we hold their endowment fund for them. So we do all of the investing, and then we provide grants to the Enterprise Lions Club to repair, replace the flags, paint the pole as necessary, et cetera, so that flag can continue to fly in perpetuity.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other agencies and nonprofits that you have assisted?
You know, we assist just about everybody in Shasta, Siskiyou, and now into Tehama. So, you know, take your pick, whatever your organization is that you love. We've helped them in some way. So Haven Humane is another organization that we've made grants to. We recently helped with their kitten nursery,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. They
yeah.
can keep kittens there on site to make sure they're getting the proper care that they need. And it's very dangerous to go take a tour there, I have to say.
Go home with a cat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did.
Nice.
I did, and she's fantastic. So we help in a lot of different ways with a lot of different nonprofits. So people or businesses or organizations come to us, and we help them be philanthropic. So we get to help them choose where to grant their dollars and invest their dollars and make a mark on this community.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Let us suppose that I am with a – well, let me just pull up a scenario. Let's say the something near and dear to my heart, Coast Guard Auxiliary. And they perform search and rescue operations. And there's a piece of equipment. Take me through the process of grant writing, because I imagine you get some grant requests that are barely legible, and there is a formula and a format for a successful grant write, correct?
That's correct. But, you know, ours are pretty easy compared to most grant proposals. So everything's online, super easy. And we just ask you who you are, what do you want, what are you going to do with it, and how does it make a difference to your organization or to the people around you? It's pretty simple. We also offer workshops to walk people through exactly how to do it, which really gets you thinking about how to write those proposals properly. We're not looking necessarily for the best written proposal. We're looking for the best proposal to fund.
Now, do you occasionally receive gifts from estates and things like people who want to make a difference? And does any of that come with conditions or earmarks on it?
Yes. We see people who want to leave bequests all the time. Whether
that was
they
the word I was looking yeah. for.
Whether they have children or not, and they'd like to leave something as a legacy to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it comes with stipulations, whether they'd like to fund veterans, animals, the arts, or scholarships. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they say, what is the best need in the community at this given time and then into the future? And Community Foundation, you know, do a good job and find that greatest need in that gap.
Mm-hmm. And how would somebody go about, let's say they are drawing up their will or their trust or something like that? How do they go about, who do they contact for the to fill in the blanks?
Sure. Well, most all estate planning attorneys will know exactly what to do in terms of what to put in your estate or your will or trust. Or you can always just give us a call at the Community Foundation, and we just sit down and have a conversation with you. What are your passions? What did you do growing up? What do you want to see as your legacy? So you just give us a call at 530-244-1219, and any of us are able to help you.
Excellent. So tell us about Giving Friday.
Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday. Where did I come up with Friday?
Black Friday, Small
yeah,
Business Saturday.
I don't
remember what Sunday is.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday.
That's correct. Good job. Absolutely.
I'm not sure what Sunday is. I can probably look it up.
I'm sure you can get deals somewhere. So we have North State Giving Tuesday. And again, the Community Foundation is so honored to be able to host this fantastic event. This year we have 178 nonprofits participating with us over the three counties, and it's a wonderful one-stop shopping to kick off the holiday season in terms of giving. So you go online to northstategives.org, and you select one or as many nonprofits as you'd like to give to, minimum $10.
Nice.
I mean, that's pretty attainable.
Yeah, yeah.
Two coffees, two beers, whatever you want to drink. Minimum $10, and you can select as many nonprofits as you like. You put it in your cart. It is one transaction for you on your credit card, so you get miles even if your credit card has any rewards. And those nonprofits receive those dollars specifically. So the Community Foundation does all the back office work and gives one check to that nonprofit after a few days when we get it done. And it's fantastic. So from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., on November 27th, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, you go online and make your donations. So last year, it was just in Siskiyou County, and we had 123 nonprofits. So we've seen a significant jump in organizations this year. But in that 14-hour time frame, we raised over $1 million for nonprofits in this community. That is phenomenal.
Mm. And being a 501c3, you guys are tax deductible, yes?
Yes, we are completely tax deductible, so all your donations can be deducted. We provide you with all of the reporting and paperwork that you need, and we take care of everything for you. So like I said, anybody can be a philanthropist on that day. So when we think about the $1 million that was raised last year, over 85% of the gifts for $100 or less.
Hmm.
That is a significant amount of donations.
That is pretty amazing. So let me frame this one to be reasonably intelligent sounding. Your sphere of influence. In other words, we've got, of course, the wake of the car fire. We have ongoing problems walking past us on the sidewalk. We've got a community that has a lot of issues right now. The River Trail was virtually destroyed. In fact, they couldn't use it this year. What is your sphere of influence? How far out do you reach? Are you going to be helping people in Paradise, or is that a little beyond your edge?
You know, it's a little beyond our edge. There is a community foundation in Chico, North Valley Community Foundation, so they service that area. Our main service area is Shasta, Siskiyou, and Tehama County.
Okay. So if, let's say, that there's a major fire in Mendocino County, that's out of your reach also. Okay.
Yeah. There is a wonderful community foundation for Mendocino.
Okay.
So everywhere
so
you
do
look,
you guys network?
We do. I just came back from a conference doing that. So we get together with community foundations across California to talk about best practices and how we can help each other.
Can we go to your website or your Facebook page if we wanted to donate to something about the campfire? Can we get there from...
It'll be just direct you elsewhere. So
okay.
We just suggest going directly to North Valley Community Foundation or whatever organization really hits home for you, whether it's animals, the school district, et cetera. So whatever your passion is where you should give.
Excellent. Speaking of passion, I assume this is more than just a job for you. Why did you get into this? What brought you into this position?
It was totally by chance. And kind of a crazy random story. I've been at the Community Foundation now for 13 years. I can't say I was seeking out work at a community foundation, but I ended up there. And honestly, it's the best place I've ever worked. I love coming to work every day. I get to showcase to my son, who's sitting out here with me this morning, my sidekick. I get to showcase to him what giving back looks like, whether it's not just money, but time, passions, energy, and that's what's important to me, to growing a giving and caring community and family.
Excellent. One more time, how do people get in touch with you and to find out more about the foundation, or if they want to help some, because we've seen a lot of outstretched hands for the car fire, some of them through GoFundMe sites and things like that, that you don't know where that money's going. This is an organization where we can actually follow the paper.
Absolutely. So check out Shasta Regional Community Foundation online at shastarcf.org. You can give us a call at 530-244-1219 or follow us on Facebook. We were very fortunate to raise a considerable amount of money after the car fire, and we are horribly transparent. Everything you can ever want to know about that fund and distributions are posted online. It's our goal and our hope to be able to share all of that with everyone. So that's there. And then don't forget about North State Giving Tuesday, November 27th, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Or you can schedule it right now if you want to go online. You can pre-schedule it so you don't have to worry about remembering on Tuesday.
That's a good idea.
And speaking of memory, I have a terrible one. And so your name once again?
Carrie Crancy, CEO of the Shasta Regional Community Foundation.
Carrie, any final thoughts or comments before we head out for the break?
You know, this community is fantastic. Between the car fire, the campfire, and everything else, we just want to thank everyone in our community and have a wonderful, thankful, and safe Thanksgiving.
So I'm diverting Bob's plan here. I just had one more question. Last year you said we gave over $1 million. And as I recall, you had a counter. Was it on your Facebook page?
It was
on the website?
It was on the website, northstategives.org. You can watch it all day from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the 27th and watch that counter go up. It's really exciting.
Cool. Yeah, right. I remembered seeing it. Couldn't remember where. So
kind of like Ed McMahon with the tote board there. So. That's a little dated reference, too. Yeah, yeah. Jerry Lewis Liberty Telethon. Anyway. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have a good season.
Thank you so much.
All right. KCNR 1460 is Free Fire Radio, and we're going to take a break. This portion of the program brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. They just got involved in the Salute to the Veterans, big sponsors of that. They're 150 East Cypress. They're going to be moving to a new location just a couple of blocks away. Be sure to watch for that. Cornerstone Community Bank, experience how they're moving local dreams forward. Visit online at bankcornerstone.com.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Thanksgiving buffet on Thursday, November 22nd from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Let Elements do the preparing and host your dinner so you can relax and enjoy your valued time with family. Our menu includes chef-carved prime rib, roasted turkey, and seasonal crab with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Adults, $25. River Club card. Children, $10. And children under 5 eat free. Reservations preferred. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. Download the Wind River app. Holidays are better at the river. Your story begins here. Start yours today. Wind River Resort and Casino can make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. Our group sales team can set up any room arrangement needed to suit your conference or meeting needs. Book your event today. Call 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. It's better at the river.
It's the Black Friday sales event going on now at Redding Kia with unbeatable deals on every new 2018 and 2019 Kia in stock.
Get $3,000 in total Kia customer cash on a 2019 all-wheel drive 7-passenger Kia Sorento.
That's a Black Friday special. And there's 1,750 reasons to own a 50-mile-per-gallon 2018 Kia Niro. $1,750 in total Kia customer cash on the coolest crossover in California.
And wait until you see the all-new, completely redesigned Kia Forte. You'll love it.
The 2019 Kia Forte, now turning heads everywhere.
Save your money for the holidays and make no payments for 90 days on approval of credit.
That's 3 months with no payments on a brand new Kia.
And every new Kia purchased comes with complimentary no-cost oil changes and tire rotations and America's best warranty.
You got that right. It's on now. The Black Friday sales event ends November 30th, 2018. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. danscottpainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
I'm here with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka of the Pace Cancer Center. Dr. Dhanuka, what are some of the symptoms of lung cancer?
Persistent cough, persistent phlegm, hemoptysis, any kind of chest pain, any weight loss associated with it, recurrent pneumonias are happening. Those kind of symptoms or breathing issues, any kind, pay attention to those and seek help.
November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Early detection is critical. Pace Cancer Center on Court Street in Reading. Positive attitude, care, and excellence. After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Free Fire Radio is back, and we've got about 10 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock. We got a playback of an earlier recorded show happening at that time. So you got about 10 minutes to give us a call here, 530-605-4567. I know that Jimmy had a question about a phone, which is not the normal morning stuff, but he didn't get a chance to give us a call on Boomer Tech on the weekend. Crackmaster knows the ins and outs of proper windshield repair. He's been fixing them for years, and he's Bureau of Automotive Repair approved. Jeff, definitely from the old school, he will fix all kinds of problems with your windshield. Chips up to a quarter, cracks up to 24 inches. Bring your vehicle in for a free inspection and analysis. Get your windshield repaired by a master windshield repair specialist. You won't be disappointed. That is Crackmaster, 3208 South Market. Call 241-8373 for your appointment today. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair. They are a proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio. And since I'm my own producer, I'm also flipping switches away. And Jimmy's been trying to get hold of me for a few days. And finally, he's on the phone. I may or may not have an answer for Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio. And I guess a little techie piece here.
Yeah, you're probably my last hope. I tried calling you yesterday, but you weren't in during your show. So I didn't get a chance to call in later when you were in, so I'm calling you now, and I hope this is okay for me to ask you a tricky question.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Fire away.
So I had a flip phone, and I still have it, and I dropped it at work, and the screen waved bye-bye. So I'm wondering, everybody's telling me that I can't get the information off of that phone because there was a lot of phone numbers and some, you know, pictures and stuff I would have liked to have retrieved off of it. Is there any place where I can bring that phone that they could do that?
Actually, Jimmy, if that phone has a, does it have the micro USB connector for charging?
I believe so, yeah.
Any phone built in the last 10 years or so will have the micro, it's a very small D-shaped connector. So, make sure the phone is charged. Even if the display is off, the phone's processor and all that should still be working. And the way you can find this out is, and you may have to look up your make and model because there may be a few key presses, but what you're going to get is a cable that on one end is the micro D connector that plugs into your phone, and the other end plugs into your PC. And it should read that phone as an external drive. Now, you may need to put in a driver, and you may need to do a few key presses. In the case of my Samsung Galaxy, you have to do a tap. But most flip phones, this is a Kyocera, right, I think you mentioned?
You know what? I am a complete caveman when it comes to technology, so.
Okay. The charging cable, what you need is a cable like your charger cable that's got the little tiny connector on one end, what's called a micro D or a micro USB, And then the other end is a regular USB, like plugs into the front of your computer.
Okay, okay, okay.
And you just connect the two, and if you're very, very lucky, your computer will see the phone and open up the folders. But there may be, and you're going to have to look up your documentation online, because there may be a key press or two that you have to perform. The other thing, and Ashley just reminded me of this, you may be able to go to your provider and have them, if your address book is on your SIM card, they can take the SIM card out and read it.
A lot of flip phones during that era behind the battery. So if you're taking the battery out of the device, behind the battery is a little card there. And they have readers at a lot of like phone stores.
SunGold says maybe they can read the SIM, but your provider, if you're with, are you with Verizon, AT&T? AT&T should be able to pop that SIM card into a reader.
Okay. And Bob, you're not a jerk for moving out of California, by the way.
Not a coward either.
You know, when we paid the house off in a couple of years, we're moving to the coast also. But it's probably going to be Crescent City, but.
I love the Crescent City area. They're sort of like their own portion of the world over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be more up toward the Smith River part. But we're looking at Brookings, too.
Yeah, that's beautiful country. I doubt if Gavin Newsom even knows where that is.
He's missing out.
Why did you have to say that?
Oh, he wants to do wonderful things for California.
I call him Gavin Gruesome.
But he wants to protect you. If he restricts your gun ownership, we'll all be safer, right?
Yeah. That was the only time I told my wife I wish Jerry Brown was still here.
Well, we've said for years here on this show that when Jerry Brown is the adult in the room, you know the state is in trouble.
but I really want to see what he's going to do about this whole fire situation, how he's going to try to remedy it. I mean, is he going to raise our taxes and fix it that way?
Oh, you mean besides promote his overpriced and under-equipped high-speed rail, and that will cure everything because everybody must move to the city now?
Yeah. You know what? I figured out this one time that from Los Angeles to San Francisco is 383 miles approximately.
Yep.
And I don't have the exact figures right now, but at last calculation, I calculated it out at, I think it was 60 billion now up to.
Yeah.
It was something like $190 million a mile.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an engineer, but that sounds a little exorbitant, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Especially, it's not really a high-speed rail. It's just a little bit faster than average rail.
Yeah.
They keep scaling. The price tag goes up, and the quality is going down. It's only...
there's the government?
There's a socialist concept.
Yeah.
I laugh.
So great talking to you guys. You're doing a great job.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. It was, you know, this is not it's not a one-size-fits-all talk radio, but Jimmy is part of the reason why we're here and other callers like Jimmy. Now, I'm not sure what is going to be happening tomorrow here because I didn't get any of the memos. My first warning of what was happening this morning was when Carl called
me. Half an hour before we
did it. At 6:30. And said, my guest host isn't going to be there. So you've got it. So fortunately,
y'all might be stuck with me all week.
Fortunately, Ashley was here and has been able to backfill me. But so at 8 o'clock, what we're going to be talking about here, and it's a fascinating show, Peter Griggs and some of the folks from Shasta College in an interview that Carl will repeatedly tell you was recorded on such and such a day. And I think it was a couple of Fridays ago when I wasn't here. So this will be sort of a first time I've heard it as well. And the program will be replayed. And we're going to be doing replays on Thursday and Friday of this week because we don't want to have people tied up here taking care of the station and to give people the day off to go be with their families.
I was telling my family this is going to be the first Thanksgiving and Christmas I've had off because I've worked in other news areas.
Oh, yeah. I worked a lot of Christmases and Thanksgivings.
I haven't had a proper Thanksgiving in, like, half a decade. So
it is a time for family and friends, and that's what Carl and Linda are doing this week. They are with Linda's family down in Sacramento, and Carl is
happy we can celebrate that.
No doubt, monitoring the situation from afar, and I'll probably be hearing some of hearing some feedback on that quarter. Right now, though, we're going to break for the top of the hour news, KCNR, and we'll be back with Shasta College.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Thomason. The death toll in the California wildfire stands at 80. The search for the missing going full speed ahead in Northern California, where rain is expected to hinder the search. More than 900 people listed as unaccounted for. President Trump says the Saudi crown prince has assured him that he had nothing to do with the killing of Saudi columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Mr. Trump, though, saying he's not sure he believes that.
Will anybody really know? But he did have certainly people that were reasonably close to him and close to him that were probably involved. You saw we put on very heavy sanctions, massive sanctions on a large group of people from Saudi Arabia.
The president, speaking with Fox News Sunday, also promising to maintain a hands-off approach to the Mueller-Russia probe. A pledge from the incoming governor of Georgia.
My administration will be known as incredibly competent, obviously diverse, and clearly committed to doing the right thing, even when no one is watching.
Republican Brian Kemp outlining transition plans after the state certified his 55,000-vote victory over Democrat Stacey Abrams, who's talking about filing a federal lawsuit over allegations of voter suppression. Nearly 2 weeks after the midterms and five House races, still too close to call.
Republicans holding narrow leads in four of the five, including New York's 27th, where Chris Collins holds about a 2,500-vote lead, and Utah's 4th district, where Mia Love is hanging on to about a 400-vote lead. Will Hurd is leading in Texas 23, and Rob Woodall has a narrow lead in Georgia 7. Anthony Brandisi is the sole Democrat on the undecided list in New York's 22nd district. So far, Democrats have picked up 37 House seats.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Sell-off underway on Wall Street with the Dow down about 192 points. The NASDAQ is off 103. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tomorrow night, what are you fighting for?
Gotta do what my father couldn't.
The movie event, 40 years in the making.
Dragos kid, it's dangerous.
Arrives.
You got people that need you now.
Creed 2 will make the whole family stand up and cheer. Michael B. Jordan.
We gotta do this together because we're a team.
Sylvester Stallone.
Now you know what you're fighting for.
What's your name?
Creed!
Creed 2, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Tomorrow night.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Israel has avoided early elections despite a crisis triggered by a violent flare-up with Gaza militants. We got the latest from the Media Line's Charles Beblazer.
After days of uncertainty and political wrangling, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appears to have saved his governing coalition and prevented what many viewed as inevitable early elections. Israel's education minister was expected to announce his resignation Monday morning, which would have brought down the government. Instead, he walked back his demand that he be made defense minister, a position Netanyahu assumed for himself after the resignation last week of Avigdor Lieberman. The shock news has for the time being stabilized the political arena. It comes after Netanyahu warned that the Jewish state is in the midst of an undisclosed military campaign and that the government's downfall would have harmed Israel's security. I'm Charles Beblazer, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and at townhall.com. Sentencing day for the Colorado man who admitted to killing his pregnant wife and their two young daughters, who he had claimed went missing.
The minimum sentence Chris Watts faces is life in prison without parole. The 33-year-old does not face the death penalty because he took a deal to plead guilty to murdering his wife, Shanann, their daughters ages 3 and 4, and his unborn child. Shanann's family also agreed to forego the death penalty. The case unfolded after a friend reported them missing. Chris Watts went on TV to plead for his wife's return. Then he claimed he killed her in a rage after she killed their children. Police say it was all a lie. Watts was having an affair and killed his entire family. Court records also show the couple had financial difficulties. I'm Julie Walker.
And again on Wall Street this morning, in the midst of a sell-off with the Dow down about 224 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. And you know, today, on Veterans Day, it's Veterans Day, of course, was yesterday, but we're celebrating today. I guess you could say everybody's off. And what we have here is this is a recording from last Friday from our friends over at Shasta College. And with us is Dan Scollin, who heads up the GIS Geography Division over at Shasta College, and one of his top students, April Maduno, who is going through this. Now, Dan, what exactly is GIS geography? You know, I know in the Marine Corps we use AutoCAD, because we do a lot of that stuff, but this is somewhat different.
Yes, of course, many of us think probably of geography from our grade school days, but geographic information systems really represents kind of the new wave of geography, and it's really the foundation of all the modern mapping tools and technologies. A lot of people think of Google Earth and Google Maps, mm-hmm. and the phone navigation tools that they have. But it's more than that. It's data storage. It's creation of new maps and visualizations and all sorts of sort of answering questions and needs of society, the economy, the environment are all wrapped up. And part of the reason that we're seeing GIS showing up in so many different aspects of both government and the private sector.
Well, now, when you say that, do you get a degree in the GIS, and you know, for this, or is this more of a partial degree, or what? Explain what this is.
So at Shasta College, we offer a one-year certificate and also an associate's degree, and then there are transfer options because there are various degrees that are offered at universities. There's a variety of sort of online certificates. So there's, as an emerging field, there's a variety of places that people can get training and education, and we offer just that such training at Shasta College.
Okay, that's interesting. When you say emerging, so this is new. When you look at Google Earth, I didn't even think of it like that. That I can look in my backyard. I mean, I can see my backyard, and I'm thinking, how can I see my backyard from these guys? You know, because I was in the military a long time, and when you know that's, I tell you what I can see on Google Earth is that's targetable imagery. I mean, if you can see that. What I see, and I would look at it, I could say, you know, I could put something right here. I could put it in the table on my backyard. I mean, and I remember back when trying to get imagery like that was impossible if you were on the front lines. I mean, just impossible. So it's gotten to be that good. Now, so what are the kind of the classes right there that you're offering up that allow this kind of this type of education there?
Yeah, so in terms of the sort of courses that the students will learn, they learn about fundamentals of how to read maps, how to navigate in the field, how to collect data in the field with things like geographic or GPS, right, field devices, mm-hmm. but also to be able to read basic topographic maps and what have you. But then there's the computer skill set and how data comes from a wide variety of sources, and you're description of satellite imagery, I think, is a perfect example of where we started to collect imagery, and then Google Earth sort of presented this way in which everybody could view that imagery. And now we will take, in GIS, for example, take imagery, and we can do things like delineate different areas where we're seeing different forest types or areas that are high fuel risk zones and a variety of...
That's a great point because, as you know, in this last week, the campfire that went from zero to, last time I heard it was 70,000 acres just like an hour ago under the latest, 70,000 acres. But this is some of the things that GIS can help with, too, is in identifying these areas. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I'd like to suggest folks check out the City of Redding's interactive wildfire map, which I was looking at before I came over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is showing hot spots, fire areas from satellite imagery that was collected in the last 24 hours. So that's about as close as you can get to a real-time look at the areas that are being affected, the areas that are being threatened. And those, in turn, can inform evacuation routes, safety measures that need to be taken, and the like.
I'm here with Dan Scollin, who heads up the geography department, the GIS portion of the geography department here, and April Meduno, who is one of the students there. And I'm going to get to you in a second, April, about how you got into this. You said different measurements. Did you say a fuel? Did you say the ability to see, to check out the fuel in areas?
Yes, that's right. And, of course, with the fires that are burning as we speak, there's a lot of aspects to the risks that people are facing, the conditions of our forests, the climate conditions that we're facing. For example, we're seeing record low levels of humidity right now, so we're hearing about we're getting information from weather stations that is then put onto maps that we can then look at in relation to forest types, how much fuel is on those forests, who owns or manages those forests. Is it Federal Forest Service land? Is it private timberland? Communities that are being affected where you have important critical infrastructure or transportation routes. And by taking all of that information together, we can help to better respond to these crises when
things start planning, which leads us to something that you're getting ready to have. And I mean, okay, now of course this is we're taping this on Friday, the 9th of November, and yesterday, of course, the campfire started. It's 70,000 acres as of right now when we're speaking. Now on Monday, when you're listening to this, things will have changed. But you're getting ready to have a GIS fire mapping in the North State event here, and before any of this started, of course, this is a result, I'm sure, is of the Carr fire, the Delta fire, the continuous fires that we're having around here. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's because that's supposed to be, it's going to be this week on Wednesday.
Yes, and the North State and the Redding area in particular has a very active professional GIS community, and we saw this community respond and in very effective ways to the Carr fire and really supported the efforts both at the initial response but also the post-fire response.
Sure.
The debris removal that we're seeing in Redding is very much enabled by GIS and was the intent of presenting this. Both we'll have several presenters and also a panel discussion where folks from different levels of government agencies and also private sector consulting firms that we have in the area and how they're deploying these technologies to be able to respond to planning needs, as you indicated, also the initial fire response needs.
Wow. So they're going to be able to do with all this in the planning is be looking at the fire spots, looking at where this fire could be going because of not just because of the wind, but also the types of fuels there, so they can help some plan on how to put their people out there. Wow, that's great. And it's very accurate, too. It used to be like with the GPS, civilian GPSs were supposed to be off like, I don't know, 10 meters because you didn't want to be able to use it for targeting things. But now with the Google Earth, I mean, it's like, oh, gee, I wonder what this. Not only that, but you can 3D it. Now, you do that, right? So you can kind of turn it around and look at it from different directions like also?
Absolutely, and that's part of what we see is a merging of technologies where we're having this capability now to be able to see different views and different renderings. And I think one example of how these things are evolving right before us occurred about 10 years ago. I think it was the Moon Fire, and one of the local GIS professionals discovered that he was frustrated that he couldn't find out map information about his home area, and he managed to pull in, he created an application that pulled satellite data, and that evolved into a product called the Wildfire Viewer that Nplan, a local company, now hosts 10 years later. It's a product, and this is something that just emerged out of knowledge and skills in GIS.
And a need. He wanted to see what was happening with his house, so he goes, look, I can do this. And he just pulls it all together. Hey, we're here again with Dan Scollin, who heads up the GIS department in the geography department. We're talking about the imagery and being able to, even go out there and foretell what could happen out there in these fires. And April Maduna, who is a student, we're going to get to her right after this break. We thank you a lot. And Peter Griggs for bringing in, always bringing in a new interesting aspect of Shasta College out there. You know, we just went out there for a tour, had a great time, and this is the first time you all have been on here, and we really appreciate it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back in a couple minutes. This is KCNR 1460, Carl Lindebot.
You are listening to a previously broadcast episode of Free Fire Radio, and we'll be back with more right after this. The holidays, whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family-owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Reading Sports.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skin care and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom and their computer technology, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600.
Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation's annual Turkey Trot is coming. Trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center to register, or visit ShastaRegional.com and register online. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the Little Gobblers, the 2-mile walk fun run for the entire family, and this year's timed race will be a rerouted 4.49 miles due to the trail damage from the car fire. Register by November 16th. Join the largest community run and walk Thanksgiving morning, the Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation Turkey Trot. A portion of this year's event will benefit Sacramento River Trail fire restoration projects.
Hi, I'm Holly from Holly Bail Bonds. We have been locally owned and serving our community since 1992. We need to stop the Bail Reform Act. SB 10 endangers public safety and will cost taxpayers millions. Bail is a vital public safety tool that ensures people who have been arrested for crimes will return to court for trial. What can you do to help protect our community from SB 10? Come to Holly Bail Bonds, located at 1737 Placer Street, and sign our petition to stop the threat to honest citizens and put SB 10 to a public vote.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. This
Welcome
is
back.
An encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. Please do not call.
It's the day everybody takes off for Veterans Day for everybody that has a job that lets them off. Of course, if you have your own business, you don't take that day off, so that's why we are here. But we are recording this segment with Shasta College on Friday. So we're here with Dan Scollin, who heads up the GIS department over in the Geography Department, which is the Geographic Information Systems part of it, which we're talking about is the imagery and tying the imagery into regular mapping and the topography there, so you can tell what's going on. But the amount of information they have is just enormous, and as you learned in our last segment. But we're also here with April Meduno, who is a student there. And April, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, April, first of all, thank you for your service because you're an Army veteran.
I am.
Were you involved with mapping and the AutoCAD or anything like that when you were in the service?
I was an analyst in the Army, so I saw GIS kind of in its infancy.
Intel analyst?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, of course, we were just transitioning over from paper maps and acetate to a digital mapping system.
Yeah, we used to send our people to AutoCAD down at the colleges so they'd learn how to be able to use so we could build our own maps. And about the time we got them all trained and really good, then somebody would hire them away for like 8 times what they were making in the military.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
So this is what you're going to do. What got you into this now, though?
GIS has become a computer system instead of systems that is creeping its way into almost every field, especially in STEM fields. So when I decided to go back to college as an anthropology archaeology major, I started seeing some of the newer things they were doing, newer techniques involved, and mm-hmm. saw the need for GIS just with that. So my minor is essentially GIS.
Anthropology, what? Anthropology?
Archaeology.
Well, I got to ask this one. How'd you get into that?
It was something I always wanted to do since high school. It was kind of look at sciences. I'm not the best student. I don't fit into academia very well. So the Army was kind of the best choice for me, especially at 18.
Uh-huh.
And then I was able to focus and start school and do what
you,
I need to
helps
do.
Helps you focus there.
You grow up.
You grow up a little bit. Yeah, well, you know, you can't help it. You know, you got to go, I've got to get up every morning. I've got to be there. Okay. But the anthropology, though, what brought that on?
I've always had a huge interest in human culture and mm-hmm. different points of view, and especially with being able to travel in the military.
Yeah.
You get exposed to a lot, and you learn, like, a cultural empathy. So
that's true.
Choosing a social science like anthropology really fit into mm-hmm. some of the experiences I already had.
And then archaeology.
Archaeology is more just because I like digging in the dirt. I have the type of disposition that allows for tedium, and it doesn't bother me because I see the little successes.
Allows for tedium. I love that. I love that. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I see with anthropology, it's a study of people. And the study of their mores and the story of their society. But then the archaeology is being able to kind of tie that into the past and see where things were.
Exactly. Since I like history, but sure. I never really wanted to be a history major, it joins those two things.
Okay. And then how does GIS help you in this?
So especially with archaeology, you need maps.
Mm-hmm.
And you need soil samples and ideas of what the geology is in an area, how to identify those things, and how to identify cultural structures like buildings and things like that. So what GIS can do, especially with the newer imagery, is help identify where some of those things are. Like there's a lot of work going on in South America
mm-hmm.
in the rainforest where they have like kind of an open source volunteer program for archaeology, and anyone could click in, look at imagery, and they kind of give you a cheat sheet for how to identify where structures may be, and you just click it on a map, and then some actual archaeologists look at that, and they'll be like, oh, this is someplace we might want to check out.
Okay. You know, this is great. We're here with April Meduno, who is a student over at the Geographic Information Systems part of Shasta College, and former Army veteran, and again, thanking you for your service. Now, the other thing, too, from what I understand, is with the GIS, you can outline, like you were talking about, like cities or villages that kind of gives you the outline that you can see from space that you would never see on the ground. And of course, we're here also with Dan Scollin, who heads up the whole division here. Don't worry, you're not getting off yet. But Dan, does this ability to from this type of imagery using topographic maps and all these, does it give you a real good? I mean, does it give the archaeologist a real good starting point right there? And does it tell you that hey, there should be something here, there should be a town here? Just by being able to look at the topography.
Well, I think what April described really well is one particular application. We could be talking about transportation. We could be talking about forestry. We could be talking about wildlife management. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they all have in common is in order to make informed decisions, we need to be able to have information. And we live in the information age. And you can think of GIS as this giant container that can store any kind of information, whether it's GPS data that's collected by amateurs in the field to satellite imagery or databases. Of course, we're all getting our information being logged in databases from our cell phones, and that's being used by businesses mm-hmm. to be able to yeah. analyze this data. So there's so many different applications, and I think April also alluded to the fact that there's simple things. You and I could walk out there, and I could help you map the front of the building here in 10 minutes based on some of the technologies, but then to be able to really leverage the tools, you need to have a little yeah. bit more education and skills.
Oh, sure. Now, April, I'm really interested in this, especially with the archaeology point. I'm really interested in the search for missing soldiers, missing airmen in mm-hmm. Vietnam. I have a very good friend that goes back there every year or every other year on these digs because they have they got a point when okay, this helicopter went down there. We had a firefight here, and everybody had a really good idea where we left these people. They couldn't get to them, or the helicopter crashed, and there's nobody around. Then, do you think that the GIS could help with things like this?
I'm sure GIS has already helped in those aspects, just because when you link in like geographic positioning systems and. Well, things of that nature, it's all going somewhere, and there's probably a nerd behind a computer sending that clarified information to people out in the field.
Well, you know what? There is an official government program that's over there, but a lot of these are based on eyewitness accounts. And the last time they were there, when they were digging, and we're talking about a pretty large dig there. Talking about archaeology, mm-hmm. Looking for bones or fragments of things of aircraft, they were digging in the wrong spot. They were, and so that's what I'm thinking about is obviously that with this type of technology we have, I just wonder how available it might be to some of these people that go over there every year, you know, raise their money to go over there to help. They might be interested to have them talk to you all. To say, hey, look, this is the area we're in. And a lot of things you maybe couldn't see was, you know, from where they're at is from the above, what you all look at is outlines. So maybe I should hook you all up with this group. It wouldn't hurt to talk. And you understand the military side of it, too.
I do.
So what do you think? Did that?
I was thinking as you were talking about a particular application called CrowdMap. Mm-hmm. You can type it into your Google search window, and it's been used for things like the Haiti earthquake response and for hundreds of other applications. And somebody with a minimum amount of training can collect data. If somebody's in the field and they have a cell phone, they can upload information, and you can sort of build this information base that can inform a question like the one that you're asking. It's a great example.
This is just fantastic. This is something that, you know, I read about and all this. I never realized over there at the college that you can get into this in April. So what do you think about this class? We've only got a couple minutes left.
With my experience, I started a regular GIS program actually at Portland State. Mm-hmm. And I found the one at Shasta College far more comprehensive, just a better program in general. And so some people might think, oh, it's community college. But the GIS program, particularly at Shasta, has some renown around California, and in my experience, it's just a better program.
Okay. Well, that's kind of good to hear that, huh, Dan?
That is good to hear that. And I will say that April's not actually in one of my classes right now, so she will not be getting graded from me based on her response.
We're here with Dan Scullin, who heads up the Geographic Information Systems in the Geography Department here. We're talking about all the things you can do with, the fire, fires and predicting fires, predicting where the fuel is, predicting how to fight fires. And April Meduno, an Army veteran who is taking these classes and studying anthropology and archaeology, so this is going to help. I think this is extremely, extremely interesting, and all the things that can happen with it. And you're having a GIS fire mapping in the North State, GIS Day on this Wednesday out there at Shasta College. And this has been recorded, so we're looking at the campfire right now. So this is something that it's obviously needs to be looked at very closely. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, April. Thank you for your service again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in. And, Dan, you know what? When next time we roll out there, maybe we'll come on out and take a look at your Peter will take us out and look at your section, too, so you can kind of tell us what's going on or show us how this works.
Yes, please pay us a visit, and thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for being here. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl and DeBott, this is KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Now, we're recording the show on Friday, the 9th of November, so we can play it today since it's a holiday in a lot of different places. And Shasta College is joining us today. And as you know, in the last segments, we were talking with the geographical information systems. And now we're going to be moving into, which is kind of like, you know, using an overhead technology, the satellites and the computers and all this. Now, we're moving into a different segment, though, of other things that are taught out there. Another subject, another important subject taught out at Shasta College, and we're into the diesel technical program. And we're here with the instructor, or one of the instructors, Ishmael Rivas, and one of the students, Justin Rogers. So good morning, gents.
Good morning.
Okay. Now, Ishmael, the diesel tech program out there, How did you get into the instruction side of it, and how did you get into diesel?
Well, we'll start with how I got into diesel in the first place, I guess. Growing up in a small town, I grew up in Modoc County, so I'm a local kid pretty much.
Hey, I know Modoc County. Cedarville?
Oh, yeah, that's right, where I was from, Cedarville, actually.
Really? Yep. Like, we go out there and shoot squeaks every year.
Good place to go shoot some squirrels.
Yep.
So in Cedarville, there's not that many options on what you can do for an occupation. Shooting squirrels is fun, but doesn't pay well.
Does it pay a lot?
It actually costs money in the end. But no, growing up in Cedarville, like I said, not too many options. A lot of farm equipment and ag equipment up there. Or you could feed cows. Those are kind of your options.
That's about right. Yeah,
yeah, that's about it. Yeah. So actually, I got into it. A guy in my church actually decided maybe I should learn a trade. So when I was 16, he decided to bring me on as an apprentice. So I was lucky enough to have somebody that thought, hey, this kid needs to know how to do something. So I worked on a lot of farm equipment as an unofficial ag apprentice. So growing up around, you know, tractors, balers, swathers, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually a graduate of the Shasta College diesel program. So I'm coming full circle now as an instructor. But working as kind of an unofficial apprentice, I just really like working with my hands. It's very rewarding.
Well, you know, I am so sold on the programs out there at Shasta College. And as Peter Griggs knows, he's taken us out there. We've had people from every one of the trades from out there, practically, I think. I say that, then he always brings in somebody new, like the GIS guys. And on a facet of education that a person can spend a year in or 2 years in and walk away and make a really good living from it, from what they learn out there, and sometimes it's a year or less. But diesel mechanics, a lot of people will just think, oh, they're just in there up to their elbows in oil all the time, and it's just, you know, how hard can that be? Except it's just messy. Things have changed.
Yeah, I would definitely say things have changed. I'm not going to lie. There's definitely a part where you get a little bit dirty.
Yeah.
So grease monkey's not an insult to me. That's a good thing. So grease monkey, you got to get in there and get things done. That used to be more of a slang term. Some people think it's derogatory. But, no, it's changed quite a bit with the new technology, emissions management. I don't know how much I want to throw out terminology, but emissions is pretty much what makes the diesel engine burn clean. We don't have a lot of black smoke unless it's a student's pickup because they like black smoke. But as far as over-the-road trucks, power generation, ships.
Now if you see a vehicle out there on the road and it's blowing black smoke, there's a policeman around there someplace.
Yeah, they've bypassed the system supposed to make it not do that. So now with all the new emissions technology, we need to learn how to work on every system that goes along with it. So, yeah, when you were saying it's more advanced, that is definitely an issue we're running into. A lot of our students definitely like to work on things, and that's why they get into the industry. But there's a big computer side of it now. The technology that's out there requires you to be able to use a laptop, hook up to your machine, and actually, you know, the equivalent of scanning your engine. You have to make sure all of those emissions technology systems are working properly.
Now, you know what? The days of the shade tree mechanic, as we used to call them, those days are about over, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, a smart mechanic would still work under a shade tree because, you know, why would you stand out in the sun? We don't have to.
But you know what? Yeah, you know what I mean.
The shade tree.
The guy that can work on a car and tune a car and, you know, can rebuild it and all this just in his garage.
Yeah, that is definitely starting to move.
Is that gone away totally?
It hasn't completely gone away. I mean, a lot of our students, like I suggested earlier, like Black Smoke, there's still some vehicles where you can do a lot of that work. They're not helping our cause with the Black Smoke, by the way, but I still get it. But, yeah, a lot of that has gone away. You do have to be able to hook up, have licenses to use the equipment to actually scan an engine. You can't do much on a new engine without going into it with a computer and having, you know, some branded computer software to talk to that engine. So, yeah, that's changed quite a bit. So, yeah, you can't pretty much just ride off the street work on anything anymore. The training is crucial. It's actually a huge need right now. We've trained a lot of students for years not to work with their hands, not in a bad way, but it seems like we've focused a lot more on the
outside.
Yeah, yes. Other careers and everything. Yeah. And we're seeing just a huge need for tradespeople, skills trades. So something I'm pretty passionate about is getting more people into the trades because it pays very well.
I definitely am too. You know, I had Sierra Pacific was in here the other day, and there's programs that from Shasta College that go straight out to Sierra Pacific, and they're telling me that we need 1,000 workers. We need 1,000 more employees. And they're just, you know, because, you know, you're looking throughout there, you know, from up from Washington State all the way down to here. They need 1,000 more. I'm just talking to people again today, and they're saying, you know what, I need people here, I need people there. Everybody is. Everybody's talking about it. If you're an over-the-road truck driver,
yeah,
they're paying bonuses. Paying $10,000 bonuses to drive somebody to do long haul trucking. So
yeah, and I think what a lot of people forget is the skilled trades. These are not low paying jobs. The need is great. So I mean, if it's something you want to do, the need is pushing. Just like you said, a $10,000 bonus to be. If you are a skilled technician, you pretty much can work anywhere in the U.S. There are this. I mean, every different business that we talk to here, even in, you know, Reading, of course. The first thing they always ask us is, hey, do you have a few students that we can hire right now?
Can we rent some of your
students? Yeah.
Are you starting to feel like, you know, a procurer of people?
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. Yeah, we're always
Ishmael, we'll pay you $100 if you can find us somebody.
Yeah,
you
know? Sometimes they're looking for that inside knowledge. But, yeah, no, we work for all of them. But, yeah, we try to make sure that we keep a good list of students that have gone through our program.
Yeah, I'm talking to Ishmael Rivas, who is one of the instructors out at the Shasta College in the diesel technology program. And Justin Rogers, who's one of the students. We're going to get to Justin in a minute or so. But anyway, Justin, how long have you been in the program?
I've been in the program for, this will be my ninth semester, 4 years.
4 years? Wow.
I'm collecting the diesel, welding, and heavy equipment degrees.
Okay, now I understand when I was talking about the guys that burn steel, that they say that, yeah, a lot of the guys on the diesel come over here to learn the welding. And because, you know, and the heavy equipment guys that are learning to drive the heavy equipment are also getting the welding. And so you're cross-training in a lot of these different ones then. Is that it?
Yeah.
So you've got your diesel mechanic, your diesel technician, I should say.
No problem.
Okay, diesel technician certificates.
Yes.
And now you're getting your welding ones. And what else?
Heavy equipment.
And you're getting heavy equipment. So when you walk away from here, then you can go work anywhere.
Anywhere. You can in go the world. Can go anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's it. When are we going to start the underwater welding course? I don't know. Peter Griggs, he's back there. His eyes rolled back in his head and he fell on the floor. I'd like to see that happen next, is the underwater welding.
You get the swimmers out of our pool there and put the welders in.
There you go. You know what? You're going to make a lot more out of the welders in the pool. You're going to make a lot more with the welders in the pool than just swimming.
We may have some water cleanliness issues, but yeah, maybe we can just figure that out.
One area there.
Just grow our water filtration program.
There's something else we could do. I'm going to get back to you in a couple minutes. Ishmael, what makes a good student in diesel technology? Because not everybody is a great student on something like this.
And I would agree with you. So what makes a good student for a diesel technology? And I could really say with any of the programs, but specifically for diesel, we do need people that have mechanical aptitude. That is actually something that you can't just pick up. There are people that are good with their hands, and there are people that have other giftings, I will say, and that's not a bad thing. So I have the best luck with people that have grown up, either been through a shop program through their high school or grown up more rural areas just because they're more likely to have worked with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to give that student a big head start over other students. But work ethic's going to be huge. It isn't the easiest work out there. There's not a lot of watching. You have to get in there and do it. So we need driven people with a lot of work ethic.
Work ethic and tenacity, but also a lot of initiative then.
Yeah,
to get out there.
Yeah, because once you get out and finish the program, you'll get picked up. There's such a need right now, you'll get picked up. But then you still got to do the work, and work ethic's huge.
Okay, so one of the things that, you know, that we, you know, when you're taking the ASVAB test and all this, is a way, there's part of it that you have to look at different different drawings. Now, which way, and it has movement, which way will it turn after these four movements? And mm-hmm. Does it turn right, left, or, and all these things? Which one of these is really the box when you're looking at all these different, you know, different
exactly.
shapes? Something like that probably would help you. You're really good at that. And I'm trying to think of that spatial awareness or something like that.
Yeah, so they make mechanical aptitude tests. Caterpillar has one. It's called the CAN test. And it's very okay. You end up having to put something together and build it from a blueprint, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gives us a lot of information about that student.
Oh, okay. So if they do well in that, you think, well, okay, they've got the aptitude then to work with this.
Yeah, we could do that right now because we are a community college. It's open enrollment, so which mm-hmm. we're, of course, happy to have. So our students, sometimes we come in and we'll find out that first semester whether they have exactly what it takes to continue on in that degree.
When they say, okay, we're going to need a Phillips screwdriver today, and they have this blank look in their face, do you realize that maybe a little bit more training with this person?
Exactly, and we're seeing more and more of that actually as the high schools have changed and there's fewer and fewer technical programs.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're here with Ishmael Rivas, who is one of the instructors out at Shasta College in the diesel technician program, and Justin Rogers, who's one of the students out there. We're going to be talking to Justin when we come back from this break. This is Carl Lindebott, KCNR 1460, your epicenter of change in downtown Reading. We'll be right back after these messages.
For over 45 years, the Original Clyde's TV is the place people turn to for locally owned, name brand recognition and offering home delivery service. You know that you're getting the best quality with Clyde's TV. Clyde's has it all, from home stereo systems to 150-inch televisions. We are an authorized DISH network provider. Not only will you be getting competitive prices on your home electronics, but Clyde's knowledgeable staff will install your home entertainment system to your specifications.
I'm Clyde, and I've been serving in North State for over 45 years. I'm an authorized Klipsch, Yamaha, Sony, Samsung, and LG dealer. We offer setup and even haul away your old electronics free of charge. If you're looking for that hard-to-find video audio accessory, we have it. We offer discounts to military personnel. Come see us at Clyde's Enterprises, located at 1250 Hartnell Avenue here in Reading.
It's the Black Friday sales event going on now at Reading Kia, with unbeatable deals on every new 2018 and 2019 Kia in stock.
Get $3,000 in total Kia customer cash on a 2019 all-wheel drive 7-passenger Kia Sorento.
That's a Black Friday special. And there's 1,750 reasons to own a 50-mile-per-gallon 2018 Kia Niro. $1,750 in total Kia customer cash on the coolest crossover in California.
And wait until you see the all-new completely redesigned Kia Forte. You'll love it.
The 2019 Kia Forte, now turning heads everywhere.
Save your money for the holidays and make no payments for 90 days on approval of credit.
That's 3 months with no payments on a brand new Kia.
And every new Kia purchased comes with complimentary no-cost oil changes and tire rotations and America's best warranty.
You got that right. It's on now. The Black Friday sales event ends November 30th, 2018. Reading Kia, readingkia.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Now, we're recording the show on Friday, the 9th of November, so we can play it today. For a lot of people, this is the day they get off officially. So we're recording the show with Shasta College on the 9th. And so the questions we ask, you know, is all in kind of reflection of the campfire that's going on right now. And right now in our studios, it's over 70,000 acres have burnt. The first group we had in here from Shasta College, of course, was from their geographic information systems out there. And they do things like they map these fires and they map the areas that could burn with the humidity, you know, the low humidity, but also the amount of ladder fuels that's in these areas, too. You know, that this is some of the things you could do with that type of technology. Well, we're in here now, though, with Ishmael Rivas, who is an instructor out in the diesel technology program, and Justin Rogers, who's one of the students out there. Now, this is hands-on. This is a hands-on class that you literally can walk out the day they give you your certificate or your degree, and the next day you start a job. Right, yeah. Ishmael?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And now we're here with, you know, and Justin Rogers, one of the students here. And Justin, tell us a little bit about you. How'd you get out to Shasta College? What made you choose this?
Well, since I was a young kid, I always knew I wanted to wrench.
Work to wrench. On, yeah. Okay. No, I understand that.
So as I went through high school, I took auto shop and then was told that, you know, there's diesel out there. And then that's when I learned Shasta College had the program for diesel.
Okay.
And I had gone a couple years, put some money away so I can go to school.
Okay, so you were working for a while, put away some money so you can come to school here. So you've been in this program for like 4 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, where did you start out with? Because we're going to get into all these different abilities you have, and I am very envious of you, because the next thing you'll be doing, you'll be up framing houses, so there won't be anything you can't do. So where did you start out first at Shasta College?
I started with diesel.
Okay.
And then one of the needs for your degree is to take beginning welding, so you actually, you know, have the understanding to do so. Well, I did some welding, you know, at my past job, and I liked it, so I continued with that. So,
you know, people don't realize this, but welding, you can do other things when you're over there. You can make sculptures. You can build things with this. You know, people think, okay, welding a straight line and joining two pipes together, two plates together, but you can do. Somebody built a turkey out of parts, and I don't know where it came from. Linda bought it at the National Wild Turkey Foundation, and I said, that is the silliest thing I have seen you do, because she spent like $100 on it. But after I was carried it home and I put it down, because it's built out of saw blades, half of saw blades, you know, from you know, the circular saws and all these other things, I'm looking at this. It's perfect. I mean, if you look at the person that did this, they must have known what turkeys look like. I mean, because they, even though it's all metal, it is absolutely a work of art. So that's kind of things the welders can do also. I mean, they're sculptures also. And you've got to be able to do that along with the heavy equipment.
Yeah.
Okay.
The heavy equipment, that was, I mean, you're going to be, as a mechanic for heavy equipment, you're going to be welding up new buckets. You're going to be doing weld repairs constantly on them.
Okay.
So it's always good to have your
okay,
welding.
So you had your diesel technology, then you did your welding, but now you got into something else, the heavy equipment.
Yeah.
So does that mean you're driving it and you can do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I can operate. I've actually, I'm halfway through getting the Class A course as well done. So
okay.
I can actually operate a Class A vehicle.
So, okay, so not only will you be able to drive the bulldozer or the backhoe, you can drive it, you can load it, drive it there, fight the fires, repair the equipment with your welding degree, and if something stops, you can fix it.
Yep.
Well, now, can you, you know what, can you go anywhere in the world with this? With this type of this type of education, literally
anywhere and everywhere in the world, you can go.
Yeah, and diesels. Yeah, definitely. The U.S. market is starting to get more and more diesel, even on the automotive side, which Europe's had for years.
Oh yeah, when I was living in Europe, I had my car I was driving was a Volkswagen Passat with a diesel engine that was fuel injected, so or whatever they do with those things to make them race really fast. So the courses you teach in our small college here can literally enable you to go anywhere in the world and work.
Yeah.
So when do you go? I mean, you've been here for 4 years. What are you going to do now? I mean, are you about finished?
I am. This is my last semester.
This your last semester?
I'll be walking the stage next spring for the degrees, and I do plan on putting everything. To work for me.
Okay, so do Ishmael? You said people are calling you all the time, saying you got somebody that's good, that's getting ready to graduate, and all this.
Yeah, that's correct.
So is there a job placement that Shasta College has that helps the graduates?
Yeah, we do have a program that does job placement, but honestly, a lot of our job placements through our advisory committee. We work with many of our local industry partners, and they're in contact with us, pretty regularly if they need more people. It's pretty much just a standing. They always need people, to be honest with you. So we kind of know if we have a good student, we try to make sure that they all know about it. Because, again, we're working for all of them, so
we
can't work with just one relationship. But,
sure.
It's pretty much just a standing that if we have anyone that is, finished the program and is doing well as a student, there's a job for them out there.
Okay. Now, Justin, where do you want to go to? Do you want to stay around here? Or would you like to just – look out there and see, where would you go if you had your choice when you graduate next year?
I would probably go, I've been actually really thinking about Montana.
Okay.
And there's a, look into it. There's a lot of opportunity out there for all three of the fields I've studied in. But I've been looking more for the diesel and the welding or both.
Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of oil platform, or is the oil going there in Montana, or is it more into the Dakotas?
More of the Dakotas, but okay. on the eastern side of Montana, there are oil fields.
Now, what's the starting? We start talking about pay
for
people,
important.
Because those people go to school and they spend their money there. So what's the pay for say somebody not like you with all four of those things that you can do? Because every one of them adds on to your value to a company, Justin. But say somebody goes to the diesel tech, they is it a year-long course, a two-year-long course?
Our degree is a two-year,
two-year
degree, and then we also offer a certificate. And to finish the certificate, it's about a year and a half, because you still have to do all of the core diesel courses.
Right.
So we're talking a year and a half to 2 years.
Okay, let's say they get their degree. Now, what can they expect when they're going out looking for a job?
A student that finishes the degree, again, it's going to depend on where they place.
Sure.
But like the median range right now, if you go out, a student leaving our program, they expect about 15 or 16 for a lower paying job. If they're really good at what they do and they can prove it right away, it's really easy to move up from there.
Mm-hmm.
The median range for salary right now for a diesel technician in California is one of the highest. It's about $51,000. So our students that are graduating with a two-year degree can quickly make it up into making about $50,000 a year.
Okay.
That's just the mid-range. If a student really goes out there and goes after it, it's easy to make a lot more than that just because there's such a need.
Okay, so say somebody like Justin that's got EK, he can also do welding.
Yeah.
And can drive heavy equipment. What are they looking at?
So that one, they may be a little nervous that he might go to work for himself, to be honest. But they with all of those skills, that would put him more in the option of being in a service truck, so or a field technician. That'd be somebody that drives a service truck, and like Justin mentioned, there's usually a welder on that truck
because
you're required to weld. So once you move into a position like that, it usually pays about $4 or $5 more an hour. So okay. you might go from, you know, if you were if you're already that skilled, you're probably in the $20 an hour range. Mm-hmm. That could bump you up to 25 or 26 an hour. And it would just, you know, goes up from there.
And it depends on where you're at, too.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, in when I was in the when I was in South Dakota, the they were it was $15 an hour at Walmart.
Exactly.
At Walmart. Yeah. And they were paying bonuses to McDonald's to try to get the people in there because they can't find, you know, because everybody was working in the oil fields.
Yeah,
but why would I want to work at McDonald's at $15 an hour? I'd be working for $30 an hour. And not even being trained. There just had to be somebody that shows up at work every day.
Yeah, and the technicians up there, diesel techs up there in Williston, that area, I believe that's where you're speaking of. Yeah, they're easily making $35, $40 an hour, and they usually get – they're jumping around due to other people trying to pick them up with
that
skill set.
Sure. We have Joe Comente, who is, by the way, he was, you know, with the Builders Exchange. You probably know Joe.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I think he just resigned day before yesterday after, you know, after he won the election. But he's also pushing out there saying that, trying to get people that are trained in the service industry, in these technical industries, because all the fires we've had and all the rebuilding and all the things that are going on, that, you know, we're just begging. And I would say that $15 an hour, I would think would be, I think that's going to be a thing of the past here in the next year or two.
Well, and 15 is the low end, to be honest. And I just I never like to oversell anything. So 50 is the low end. As soon as you move up.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding.